Sutta, note 15, 1-5, page 2. Heart Sutta, note 1-5, page 2, part 2. Okay, there are three types of wisdom. But according to Mahayana, they only talk about two types of prajna, which is also wisdom. So the Buddha taught three, but here they simplify to two, and they have their reason, because the way they categorize it is different, understand not? Theravada, there are three turnings to the Four Noble Truths. First turning is what they call Suttamaya Panya. Suttamaya Panya, from the word you know. Sutta is the discourse of the Buddha. Maya Panya is the wisdom born of hearing the Sutta. Understand? That's why the first turning of the Four Noble Truths is when the Buddha proclaimed this Four Noble Truths, or anybody who proclaimed this Four Noble Truths, like I did on the second night, if through hearing you develop wisdom, and then that is first turning wisdom, Suttamaya Panya. But if you don't have the ability to awaken, then the Buddha said you have to do the second turning. That one, I believe, everyone has to do. Even the Buddha also did. And that one, during the early years of my cultivation, I did a lot. That's why I stabilized the Dhamma, I penetrate the Dhamma very fast. So this contemplation, the second turning wisdom, is called Chintamaya Panya. Means, after you have heard what the Buddha proclaimed under the Four Noble Truths, then you have to reflect, contemplate, then inquire into this truth, into this Dhamma that he has proclaimed. So when you reflect, contemplate, and inquire, another type of creative understanding will arise. Then it will start to stabilize what you have heard. So when you stabilize it through contemplation, reflection, inquiry, then you can assimilate it. Understand? Assimilate it in. So the moment you stabilize and assimilate in, you have a clearer understanding. Then this will prepare you for the base to receive truth. Next time you hear the same proclamation by another teacher who has higher wisdom, you can understand already. Like I said, the Dhamma door, you have to go in one by one. So the first one is you hear. After hearing, you got some understanding, but not stable, not clear. Then you reflect, contemplate. It's like after the Dhamma door open, first one, you go in, or then you see all the beautiful Dhamma inside. But this Dhamma, you cannot understand yet. You have to slowly, slowly reflect, contemplate. But because you're able to open that door, chances are you will understand very fast. So the moment you understand, means all this Dhamma stabilize. Stabilize, you assimilate in. Then it prepare the base for you to receive truth. And then next time you go for the third turning, means Bhavana Maya Panya. Understand? Bhavana Maya Panya is wisdom born of Bhavana. Bhavana is meditation, mental training, through heedfulness. So if you do that, the third turning is all about enlightenment. When you have this third turning awakening, you will definitely become enlightened already. So that's why you look at the three turning of the Four Noble Truths. The Buddha actually make it very specific. Every Noble Truth, he turned it differently. Let's take for example the second Noble Truth. Second Noble Truth, I need to use the whiteboard. Second Noble Truth. This one you don't need, huh? Anybody still need? No need, huh? Dependent origination. Okay? Okay, second turning of the Four Noble Truths, huh? The first Noble Truth, what did the Buddha say? Huh? What did the Buddha say? Hey. No answer. Huh? No, that is proclamation. Ayo, that is the first turning. Now I talk about second turning. What did the Buddha say? Huh? This noble truth of suffering, which is the first noble truth, is to be? I see. Like that, how to cultivate? Eh? The turning also cannot remember. How to reflect, how to contemplate? Huh? Sorry. So under the first noble truth, this noble truth of dukkha, or suffering, is to be understood. I use a different ink. Second turning is what? Second noble truth. Sorry. No. cause of suffering. Second noble truth is about cause of arising of suffering. So, the cause of dukkha is to be? Now better. To be abandoned. Now I use red color. Red color means? Third one is what? That one is the first turning. Suffering need not be. There is a noble truth that talks about the cessation of suffering. But second turning is different. This cessation of suffering is? This cessation of suffering, or dukkha, or Nibbana is the cessation of dukkha, or the cessation of the form of mind, will lead to Nibbana, that's not. Yes, the Buddha say, under the third noble truth, suffering need not be. This suffering can end, understand or not? Means form and mind can cease, and you can realize the enlightenment, which is Nibbana, understand or not? So this cessation of dukkha, or the form and mind, the five aggregate of form and mind, which is this fellow, you see, when you realize Nibbana, there is no consciousness inside. Pure awareness also no more. All the aggregate, feeling, perception, sankara, vijnana, all cease. Then, you are like a dead man in there. Correct? No? Your consciousness come out. But Nibbana is different. When you realize that form and mind went through that cessation, this one cannot die on. No heartbeat, nothing. Don't die on. That's why when you are about to go into this cessation at that time, you better tell people. Otherwise, you go into cessation. Next day, your wife or your husband or your loved one, ayo, dead already, no happiness. Panic, call hospital, ambulance, take you to hospital, also cannot wake up. You have to let people know. But most of these people, they know one. They will go somewhere. Because during the Buddha's time, he can go into it for 7 days, 7 nights. So they call Nirodha Sahampati. Understand? It's a type of cessation. But if you do jhana, you go into the fourth jhana, you also can go into that cessation. But that one is not the real Nibbana. That one is energy field in equanimity until everything is very still. But that mind that is in stillness still exists. Still exists. And the energy is still there. And the energy is the one that keeps the thing like cannot move. Nothing can affect it. They say bullet also cannot shoot through. I don't know about that. You can try. So this cessation of dukkha, which is nibbana, is to be real. Last one is what? The last one is what? The fourth noble truth is this noble eightfold path. When you cultivate, it will lead to the end of all suffering. So the Buddha say, this noble eightfold path. Is to be sorry, I have to put color. Now you see, first number two, understanding it is enough. Understand? No need to cultivate one. Your suffering, you feel one. You cannot cultivate suffering unless you delude the ego and do self-mortification. So, under the second turning, the Buddha mentioned that this noble truth or dukkha is to be understood. Means what? You have to reflect, inquire, and contemplate. What is your first inquiry? Why did the Buddha say that? Tell me why. That one is a proclamation. No. Why did the Buddha say that? You must understand it. A little bit close. Ayo. If you don't even know what is suffering, how can you understand the first noble truth? That one is all theory, not. When you inquire, why did the Buddha say that? If I don't develop the contemplation and the inquiry, I only know knowledge. Like everybody say, first noble truth, life is suffering. What is suffering? Birth, OA, sickness, you like a parrot, no, rattle everything, no. You think you know. Yeah, you never do this, that's why your knowledge is not practical, understand? No? So when the Buddha said, this noble truth or dukkha is to be understood, means I reflect, I contemplate. Why the Buddha say that? And then you check. Oh, you really, like, I haven't understood. When he say birth is suffering, I assume he is right, I believe him, understand? No? But if you inquire, reflect with a silent mind, with a creative mind, then you will come to understand because you have witnessed birth before. Women, very easy. Most of them give birth before. Or then they will see the whole process got suffering a lot. Understand or not? For men, you can go and read up the books. or you can check with your wife. If you care for your wife, one, the process they will tell you one. Morning sickness, the first month or second month or third month. Then after that,
they have a lot of things they cannot eat, understand or not? Then they have to sacrifice. Then later on when they carry further, or how the baby kick and all those things, then how you have to take them to see the gyno and all those things. Because there is a lot of follow-up. Then the birth process, they will tell you, understand or not? Then when the baby is born, the first thing they do is what? Cry. Then after that, you got complication, how? Then you realize, yeah, birth actually got a lot of things. Not like everybody think, wow, looking forward to the first grandson or grandchild. Looking forward, full moon. Then birthday. Then buy all the gift. That is, you assume everything come smoothly, understand not? But when there is complication, how? The life of the mother and the child is threatened. What happened? Understand not? So this is why you have to reflect, contemplate. Then when it comes to old age, sickness and death, if you don't go through, you cannot understand, understand not? Similarly, separation. So you reflect, contemplate, then your mind will arise the understanding through your experience of life, understand not? Through what you have seen in life. Then this understanding is deeper, understand not? Clearer. Then you understand the danger of not developing the wisdom before you confront them, understand not? Otherwise, when you're young, you're happy-go-lucky. Then as you grow up, you also don't have to face old age sickness. You seldom want to think of death. Then separation. So once you have this understanding, you say, good, now I reflect, I contemplate, I can understand. But is it enough or not? Because it's to be understood. No? When you reflect, contemplate, theory, you know. Because you never go through the sickness. That's why like Chewy, when the leg kena that time. That one is suffering. This suffering is to be understood. Then you say, oh, blessing in this guy. Now I got this disease. I got this sickness. Then I go through all those like separation, that wall. So if you understand that this noble truth of suffering means the first noble truth, reality, is to be understood, you have to actually experience some of it. Not necessarily all. But when you experience some of this before the wisdom comes, chances is you definitely get afflicted. Understand not? You suffer. Then you reflect. Why did I suffer? Because I don't have this understanding. Understand not? I attach. I give so much emphasis to what I perceive. My loved one. Understand not? Then I deludedly grasp to my feeling. Understand not? Then I become emotional. Understand not? Then through that consciousness, I perceive my loved one. Then my views and opinion condition me to be miserable. Because it's a wrong view. Then you realize the five aggregate, all you grasp. You grasp at the loved one, which is the form. Then how did the grasping come about? You perceive it. How did the perception come about? Because through your thinking, your wrong view. Sankara, you grasp. Then how does sankhara grasping come about? Well, when you become conscious, you input the wrong content. Then when you input the wrong content, the feeling you grasp become craving, like the dependent origin. That's why all the five aggregate of form and mind, all you grasp. That's why you suffer. Then you realize, now I have understood what suffering is. First hand, I experience it. Then you come to second noble truth, third thing. The Buddha said there is a cause behind all suffering. So if you were to inquire and contemplate and then reflect, you go through the same process, where you experience it, then you realize the Buddha is right. Where he summarized all of the first noble truth as the grasping and clinging to the five aggregate of form and mind. Remember? Due to your Sakkaya Ditti. Then you realize, okay, the cause is Sakkaya Ditti, that condition, craving. A lot of people don't understand the cause of suffering, they say craving. So craving is to be abandoned. You abandon craving, no use. Because the cause is Sakkaya Ditti, ignorance. you have to abandon the wrong view, the Sakkayaditi and the ignorant. Understand not? That's why a lot of people, when they don't understand the cause of suffering, I always add in that thing, which is craving, born of delusion, Sakkayaditi. So, like Chinese sincere, you don't treat the symptom, no. You treat the source of the problem, no. That's why they give you po yok to po the organ, understand? And then the symptom is gone, understand? But Western medicine, headache, Panadol, they treat the symptom, understand? So this one, craving is the symptom, understand? But the source behind craving is delusion, Sakkayaditi. Okay? So this is how you contemplate. Then this one, of course, you understand, the third noble truth. If you have not realized, means you only know theory, knowledge, understand? You have to realize it, then only you can have the understanding. Means the third turning is this noble truth of the cessation of dukkha has been realized, enlightenment. Then the third turning for first noble truth is this noble truth of dukkha has been understood. Understand? Understood means what? I know what is suffering. I know the cause behind suffering. I know how to end suffering. Understand? And I know that there is a path that leads to that which I have cultivated. Understand? So the third turning is all about enlightenment. Yeah? Noble truth of dukkha has been understood. Cause of suffering, which is born of self-delusion, has been abandoned. Understand? Yeah. Then after that, cessation of dukkha has been realized. Then Noble Eightfold Path has been cultivated. That's why Noble Eightfold Path, fourth noble truth, the Buddha never say, this Noble Eightfold Path is to be understood. No? Understand? Understanding Noble Eightfold Path not enough. You must put it into cultivation, practice. Understand? A lot of people used to say, what? Brother Teo, I know, but cannot do. Lah. Understand? You know, but you cannot do. Especially what? When people disturb you and get angry, your own loved one. I'm not supposed to get angry. Lah. I'm not supposed to do that. I know, wrong, but B-U-T, come out again. Understand? Then? You are no different, understand? Because you have not cultivated it. But if you have cultivated it, then there is no more but, understand? What is Noble Eightfold Path? Right view leading to right thought, right speech, right action. You cannot react on everything right. No negativity, no anger. Anger is what? Wrong speech, wrong action. So, all this second turning and third turning is very clear and very straightforward. Okay? You go back and read the note yourself. I don't have much time. I have to rush a bit. So now we come to Mahayana. Mahayana, they classify wisdom differently. They classify wisdom using profound wisdom, profound prajna, and superficial prajna. This is where you will come to understand why I say the arahant, the normal arahant, they still got outflow. So here, the definition of the first one, profound prajna or wisdom. This is wonderful wisdom of those who cultivate the bodhisattva way to become Sammasambuddha. Understand not? This is the great awakening, profound, perfect in enlightenment, profound wisdom. The other one is superficial wisdom. Of course, you put that word, Theravada, sure, not happier. it's just a form of classification. I don't take the word for it. This is limited to the understanding of the Four Noble Truths and the dwelling of condition causation as taught by the Buddha at the Theravada level. Means this one is for all the sainthood, Sotapan, Sakadagami, Anagami, and Arahat, including Pacheka Buddha. Pacheka Buddha awakened through the dwelling, dependent origination. Understand? The Pacheka Buddha got two types. One they call the silent Buddha.
You heard of it? Silent. I don't know why they call him silent. When the Buddha is not around, there is no sasana either, no dhamma either, no Four Noble Truths either. But they realize the Four Noble Truths through the dependent origination, the dwelling, on their own. You ask yourself one question. They used to tell me during the early day, I got a shock. He said, silent Buddha cannot teach one. I said, even the Arahant can teach, silent Buddha cannot teach. Silent Buddha are Pachika Buddha, no? Higher than the Arahant. No? So don't go and just gullibly believe all these people. Because whoever who is enlightened has the truth, they can teach. Understand? They can share with you, even Sakadagami or Anagami or even Sotapat. They already had the initial wisdom. Once you cross over, change your lineage to even a Sotapan or the first stage of sainthood, you got no more Sakayaditi. Understand? Self delusion gone. That itself is very profound understanding. So you don't have to like gullibly believe what the book write and what people tell you. Okay, then the next one is very important. Form Dhamma. What is form Dhamma? All of the Dhamma deal with what? Deal with the form, Rupa, the first aggregate of the five aggregate of form and mind. The physical body and the external form. Understand? So form Dhamma, they are perceptible Dhamma at the form level. Understand? And the form is Rupa, the first aggregate of the five aggregate of form and mind. Understand? All Dhamma related to external form and the physical form is called form Dhamma. Then what is mind Dhamma? Mind Dhamma is not like form. Form is very gross, perceivable outside. But mind is non-perceptible, understand? Because it is not a solid thing that you can see. Understand? Feeling is mental, understand? Perception is mental, understand? Activity of mind, sankhara, is all mental, understand? Consciousness is also mental. So, non-perceptible Dhamma means the Dhamma relating to the other four aggregate of mind, namely, feeling, perception, activity of mind, and consciousness. To understand form Dhamma, you need awareness or sati or mindfulness to see the mind Dhamma. Because only awareness has the ability to see them. Thought cannot see awareness, like I explained yesterday. So you have to develop sati. Then use it to cultivate, to investigate, to understand. And then it becomes heedfulness. That's why mind Dhamma, you need awareness. If one cannot see form Dhamma, then it will be very difficult for them to see mind Dhamma, which are much more subtle and much less perceptible. Correct or not? Physical form is very gross. External form is very gross. You can see them. No? All the mental mind Dhamma, you cannot see. You know, that feeling, that perception, the sankhara, the consciousness, very fast, all go inside. Then how to see? Without awareness, you heedless, you lost in thought. How it spin you, how it torment you, how it condition you into all those evil roots, you also not aware. So you think it's normal somehow. Everybody also suffer. So, normal. So, when you don't understand, you cannot see all this. Okay, the next one. Now, this is where the answer comes. Between the Mahayana understanding and the Theravada. He said, cultivator of superficial prajna can end the birth and death of this delimited segment. You remember the segment I told you? Every life you are born, one segment, one segment, one. This one, rebirth, no more. That's why Arahant, no more rebirth. Finish. This one, birth and death of the delimited segment, the body and mind, means the form and mind. But they are unable to transcend the birth and death of fluctuation or the thought. Their thoughts still come and go, come and go. Where the mundane mind is still there. Understand? they can be enlightened because they don't have ignorance already. So at the moment of death, there is no more rebirth consciousness. But their mundane mind is still there. So when they are still in the midst of living life, that mundane mind still got outflow. And as the birth and death of that thought still there, means it didn't cease. Understand? So that's why they cannot move further to go the Bodhisattva way. Whereas those who cultivate the Bodhisattva way, yeah, to become Buddha, finally they need to connect into their nature, to go beyond just the Four Noble Truths. Yeah. That's why I say that gateway is for the Bodhisattva, not for normal cultivator. So you don't have to worry. Don't have to look for it. Don't go and ask me where it is and try to forget about it. When the time comes, you're ready, you come. Then I can talk to you. It's just like Xuan Hua, I remember. He came to KL here, I think, Old Klang Road, there's a Mahayana temple. Somebody came and asked him a question. He said, Mahayana say, Arahant still got outflow. Theravada say, don't have. Why? He asked Master Xuan Hua. You know how the answer come on? Master Xuan Hua asked him first question. He said, who asked this question? He said, then he asked that person who asked that question, are you an arahant? You're not arahant, forget about it. Don't ask. You arahant, you come and see. And then I teach you. You see, I explain to you why you got outflow. See? Those who understand is like that. So don't try to be too protective of whether Theravada or Mahayana or Vajrayana. Because the Buddha, when he was around, there was no Theravada, no Mahayana, no Vajrayana. Human being put them together. Then division, split. Why do you want to get yourself aligned to any sect or any division? No point. So this one, for knowledge, for your understanding, so that later on you won't get yourself entangled. Okay, next one. Hey, how come the note like that one? Huh? Like something missing one. Oh, never mind. Because this one, I just photostat on what Miss Lee print for me. I think something missing already. Next page. Previous life, the segmented life. You born animal, pitta, deva, demon, etc. Then this life you are a human being. So which one is you? None of them. Correct or not? This one, something missing already in front. But never mind. Luckily the summary is still there. The conclusion is still there. Okay, next one is part 3, meditation. This one is the reporting one. This one is very good. Conditions are very conducive and the retreat was very well received, because that was the first retreat Achan Achalo came and gave it to our Kayan Mitta group. Then we were all there, because I used to teach there, Champaka Buddhist Lodge. So the condition was there for me to make this summary. This one will help you understand. The conditions are very conducive and the retreat went on very well, was very well received by all. It has also benefited so many of them in so many ways. They were made possible because of the continuity of mindfulness, bhavana, and great wholesomeness expressed by all throughout the retreat. Yes. When you sustain your mindfulness over a period and you silence your mind, then you develop meditation, then you perform a lot of wholesomeness, because throughout the day, the 10 meritorious actions you do puja, you pay respect, you rejoice, you renew your precept, you straighten your view, then you transfer merit, you share merit, then you provide volunteer service for free. So all these are the 10 meritorious actions. So because of all this, the mindfulness, continuity, bhavana, and the great wholesomeness expressed by all throughout the retreat, And it has also resulted in such good condition for many of the participants to experience rather good meditative states and development of the five spiritual faculties. So this retreat condition activity are very conducive for good bhavana and wholesomeness training to set the base for our path, sorry. Oh, okay, to set the base for our past cultivation to connect back to us. Or to help speed up our cultivation. So, like what I told you, you can have your inherited spiritual cultivation. But you're lazy, you never connect. So, this inheritance cannot come on us. Never connect means what? You didn't do your part, understand? So you need to know everything need condition. So if you come, if you don't have the condition to connect, then you wasted that segmented life, gone. But karma, law of karma, the first karma, karmic nature, no need to wait for inheritance one. Immediately rebirth, DNA all coded already. That every moment, every instant, born of your karma, heir to your karma, condition and support of your karma. That one no need to wait on. Straight away karma. Understand? But spiritual inheritance, you need to connect. Like the Buddha, before he becomes Sammasambuddha, that Sambhogaya Kaya cannot come. Understand? For my case also same. Before I connect, all this wisdom and perfection that I have done in the past cannot come. But the moment I connect, all this comes. That's why I told you a lot of things I never learned on this life. Yeah. I got one parami very strong one, adittana. That's why I know how to use adittana, aspiration. I know how to ask you to ask for forgiveness and teach you how to make aspiration. I'm an expert in that. So that's why because of that I know how to create condition for this form of mind to come. The transition period, the timing and how, come with what. That's why everything I have, I don't have to depend on anything, and I don't have to be with whatever lineage or sect or what. I come alone, free. Then for me, whether you got affinity or not, depend on your karmic conditioning. If you got affinity, you can meet. And if you have better affinity, after you meet, you can learn. Understand not? Then after I share, whether you learn or don't learn, understand or don't understand, accept or don't accept, no problem. Your life, you decide. Understand? So, this life, the purpose is there is still this condition that need to be fulfilled because there are a lot of people who has made aspiration, understand? Who has the affinity. And also throughout the birth and death of so many lives, I have actually committed in a way where when I send out aspiration or send out blessings or send out all this pure wish, sometimes for various reasons, when the time comes, I will take this across. When the condition is there, I will take this across. So that's why it has to come certain time. Then if your karmic conditioning is so strong because you are very sincere, you will come. From where also I don't know. Almost all of you except my wife, Sui An and Mi Fong, I know in the university, you all come, don't know me. How you come also I don't know. Or God, I'm a friend. Then sometimes you hear people talk, then you come. So this is part of cultivation. Okay, so that part I want to share. Now we continue. Every day, we chant that time, just like what we do here. Then we take refuge, we renew our precepts, pay reverential salutation, maintaining quietness or silence, do the sitting and walking meditation, and mindfulness meditation, daily mindfulness. Followed by listening to the Dhamma, strengthening of our view, sharing of merit, transfer of merits, and dedication of merits. Are all very, very wholesome and rather meritorious in nature. And together with the non-human our collective group consciousness has created a very conducive environment, which is charged with a lot of very good meditative and wholesomeness energy to benefit so many of us, including all those who have one way or other contributed to the success of the wonderful retreat, especially the organizers. That one also almost 9 days. You only settle down after the third and fourth day. Then later on, it will be. That's why you have to, after this, maintain noble silence. Then you will see the effect. You will see the effect. Here is very special. So this is to let you understand better. This type of retreat is more intense and useful, and the five spiritual faculty and the mind can develop very much faster. It will encourage and motivate many of the participants who have benefited from it to diligently determine to continue their post-retreat cultivation. Do not be complacent, otherwise one will lose this good state of trained mind within a very short span of post-retreat heedless living again. Understand? Now? You go back, you still don't determine to be heedful, you lose all you have trained. The ability to maintain and continue this good momentum of post-retreat cultivation by integrating it into the daily life is very important. Understand? You go back, continue, and integrate into daily life. Then you progress very far. The momentum of continuous post-retreat, devotional, bhavana, and mindfulness training, we are having a very good and disciplined religious routine. And daily awareness or mindfulness training are equally important. Religious routine means you make your routine, like stick to it. Every morning you wake up, you pay respect to Pujan, then you meditate for a while. You want to exercise also can. Then after that, before you sleep, you do again. Then in between, whenever you are free, then now learn how to develop daily mindfulness so that even in the midst of work, career, you can still develop meditation. So that should be the one. So a good religious routine can be in the form of at least twice a day a strict devotional and bhavana training. There is once in the morning and once at night before one sleep, followed by paying respect to the Buddha every time before you leave your house and every time when you return to your house. This is good practice because it will enable you to develop a habit to every time pay respect to the Buddha. So that you renew this faith and affinity with the Buddha. Maintain awareness of all your bodily activities and movement within the present moment to cultivate your daily mindfulness until it is very stable. This training of the mind is kaya nupasana. It's to slow down your heedless habitual thinking and not your action and movement. That's why you walk. Make sure your mind don't think and heedlessly wander off. Like I say, when you are aware of the body, means what? When you walk, your attention or your awareness is with the body. When it's with the body, you cannot think, isn't it? When you are not with the body, where is your mind? In your forehead, understand? Your forehead is the brain, memory. Thought is respond to memory. So if you keep it there, that's why that teacher said this is hell. When your consciousness are up here, you don't know how to use thought, this is hell. Create suffering, attachment, grasping because of your self-delusion. But when you have wisdom, you can use this beautifully. Then consciousness can come up. Otherwise, keep the attention within the body. That's like keep your mind inside, not at your forehead. Kaya nupasana is to bring your awareness, your consciousness down to your body so that it is always in the moment. Because your body is always in the moment. Your body cannot think on. Like we do the exercise. Your hand move. Your mind and your hand together. So like you move like that. It means I'm not interested in the hand. No. I am interested in the body and mind as one. That's why whatever you do, if your body and mind can be with it, then there is sati. there is no thought asana. Then when you're silent here, you have the clear, spacious awareness asana. Well, the thought hasn't come out. When the thought come out means what? You think of something asana. So the thought zoop from spacious awareness into one point asana, into a small what they call thought. So if you are mindful, you will start to see how you create thought. Then how through hearing you create thought. Through seeing, through smell, taste, tactile, and thought process. All this, you will witness them. Okay, now we finish. Oh no, sorry. There's one more. Line, third, last line from the base. So kaya nupasana is to slow down your heedless habitual thinking mind and not your action and movement. Always remember that. Yeah, you always think a lot and think ahead. Every moment of awareness or sati will help you break the momentum of your heedless habitual thinking, thus enabling you to stabilize your daily mindfulness training. So this one you understand, where you think until so habitual, your thinking is like a momentum, no need to put effort on, keep on like this one, I swing this on the bell, you see. When there is a momentum, means what? No need to do anything, the thinking will go on. But the moment you are mindful means what? The thinking stop. But if it only stop for a split second, then not enough. Because the spinning will go again. But one thing that you have to understand, at least it stop. Then to move this, you need new force. Because the momentum is no more there to move it. You see the point, right? So every moment of awareness will help you, understand, right? So if you can sustain this awareness for a while, then you realize what happened, right? Most of the time, you don't think. Means this become the new habitual tendency of heedful living, understand, right? And that's how slowly, with your right view, your understanding of the Dhamma, your wrong view or reverse, then you will not react and think like before. Then you have more and more clarity. And then you are more and more heedful. Because avijja already less. You straighten your view, avijja less. Self-delusion less. So avijja paccaya sankara also less. Understand? Thinking also less. That's how you become different. Then after you become heedful, less thought, everything you see and perceive, there is clarity. Well, there is less thought to cloud you. When you think a lot heedless, you are clouded by thought, like the sun cannot penetrate the cloud. Understand? So, don't think. But ask you, don't think, cannot. How not to think? Don't want to think, also think. And the worst is, you try to stop the thinking, more thinking come out. Well, last time, got one classmate asked me, he said, "Dude, you sure the thought can stop?" I said, "Why? You got problem?" He said, "I try. Cannot. The more I try to stop, the more thought come out. Because you try. Who try? The thought try." I said, "There's a lot of thought come out." I said, "Don't try. Then how? Relax lah. Just silent, aware." He said, "Relax lah. Sleep lor." So that's why living being is like that. So how to learn? Because they don't know how to relax. They don't know how to let the thought arise and do what it wants. That's why I say don't resist in the meditation. Got thought, so what? Tell yourself, condition like that, I will be like that. Means what? I haven't trained my mind. I still heedless. That's why this thought will come. As long as I don't resist and fight, this thought will slowly slow down and dissipate by itself. Understand? But I don't give it any more mental energy. Understand? I don't try to stop it or suppress it or do anything about it. Understand? I don't try to counter it. Everything also, if you don't give it any more fuel, it will not burn anymore. Understand? So thought is like that. That's why Krishnamurti is very good. You listen, this one. The very flowering of thought is the very ending of thought. You understand? You know flower. When it bud, Slowly, slowly, it flower, 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 flower. Flower until the end? Cannot flower already. How? End. It has to decay, wither. Your thought is the same. Don't give it any more new energy. Then it cannot flower anymore. But if you keep on giving it new energy, thought is keep on being created. So when you got anger, is the best test, because that was where I really break through 20, 30 years ago. I remember my mind that time react. Then when this thing was inside there, agitated, I straight away silent. I don't want to do anything, I just silent. Because I remember the five way the Buddha teach, the third one. Just maintain silent. No doing, nothing, silent. Within less than 1 minute, the whole thing slowed down. I saw, the awareness saw it slow down. Then suddenly, ping, no sound. Still. That's how I come to know the original state of mind is stillness. You don't do anything, it will come back to that one. Because that anger is a condition arising energy field, correct? Due to your delusion. If you just silent, no more thought, means that delusion or wrong thought got no more power to drive you to become angry. Otherwise, you go and think about it, you become more angry, you just know. That's why you plan, then you try to tell yourself, next time if I see him again, I will do this, I will. All this is giving more energy, feeding that evil root. That's how you become evil. Through that wrong thought, sakkaya ditti. So all this, after I understood, that's why I know the five way is beautiful. The third one, the Buddha say, just silent, aware. No need to do anything. You know the five ways or not to overcome unwholesome thought. First is, think of the direct opposite wholesome thought. Got anger, radiate metta. Got cruelty, develop compassion. Got lust, develop contentment. Then, all the direct opposite. If this one doesn't help, he say, reflect, contemplate, and think of the danger or consequence of allowing this evil root or wrong thought to continue to exist in within your mind. Because it's an evil root, understand? Evil condition, suffering. Your life, is that what you want? If that is not what you want, abandon it, understand? How do you abandon? Third way. The Buddha just say, silent. Aware. No need to do anything. The thing go away. You remember the Buddha, Buloka analogy? Sorry, not Buloka. The Buloka crossed that pool of water. He asked Ananda, he said, go and get me some water. So Ananda went. First time, murky. He told Buddha, cannot. Second time, asked, go again, murky. And then third time, he go, oh, very good. He said, now clear. So the Buddha said, what is the Dhamma behind? He said, your mind is like that. Understand? Murky means what? Buloka go across, stir. That's why murky. What must you do? Don't go and stir it. Understand? Then it settles down by itself. Understand? Who stir? Your thought, your delusion. Every moment of perception also think. Understand? And who think? The egoic mind think. That's why selfishness, emotional negativity, fear, everything, insecurity, all come out. So this is how you cultivate. Okay, we finish. Yes. Yes. Okay. You use the mic. I can't hear you. Too far. Yeah.
Now, earlier you mentioned we need to investigate, correct? So when you investigate, your mind will give way to thoughts. Thoughts and mind.
Okay.
Are they two separate entities?
Oh, definitely. I already told you there are two types of mind. One is the mundane mind, thinking mind, understand or not, with the aggregate. The other one is the true mind, before the knowing, just aware, understand or not. So when I ask you to investigate, it's not contemplation. Contemplation, second turning, there's a little bit of thought. But through a creative mind, within a conducive setting, when you are alone, when you are in a retreat or in a quiet place, even when I'm at home, sometimes I want to develop reflection to understand something. Like the last 10 years, I always ask, how can I allow the living being to understand the Dhamma? There are certain Dhamma I know, very simple, but living being cannot understand. No? So I contemplate, I throw this out. And then as I walk, the creative understanding just come out. Oh, they don't need Dhamma now. The basic also they don't understand. Essential Dhamma also they don't understand. You have to start from here. Then that's how I come back and start from essential basic Dhamma. And then I realize, hey, this one hell, oh, this one. Because before you know how to walk, you want to fly. Understand? You want straight away vipassana. Four foundation of mindfulness. All the jhana, jhana. Oh. But four noble truth, second turning also don't understand. Three evil root also don't understand. Why are you not peaceful also don't understand. But you want vipassana. Understand? So when you become gullible, it's very difficult. So you have to actually develop the base, the foundation. Then from there, with a stable foundation, you cultivate. You progress very fast because you are guided through this base. But make sure that base is the correct one. If it's a deviant one or the wrong one, you also go the other way. Understand? I got one teacher, remember, he said, the moment you start, you miss by, let's say, a little bit only. Let's say, 1 degree. 1 circle got 360. You miss by 1 degree, is there? If you cultivate over a long time, like you pull a line from that point to the, let's say, to the moon, no need so far. You know you deviate how much already. 1 degree from here to the moon, you know you already gone how far. Understand? So right view is very critical. If the right view deviate a little bit, you get lost already. That's why I say it's not easy to encounter the true Dhamma. You need to make aspiration. That's why the Buddha advises us, all of you, he said, Ipmina punyang kamina, you must chant on this one. And commit to it, be sincere and determine this is what I want. Ipmina punyang. Punyang is merits. By the power of this merit, you aspire for causes and conditions to always avoid the foolish and the heedless and meet out with the wise and the enlightened one so that Nibbana can be realized. You have to make this aspiration and commit. Otherwise, very difficult to find this way. Okay? So, Vincent's question is about contemplation involving thought, isn't it? Or investigation involving thought. Isn't it? Investigation don't involve thought on. It's only contemplation, reflection and inquiry. But it's a slow one. Not active thinking. That one is not contemplation. Contemplate means you throw out the question. Throw out the inquiry. Why did the Buddha say that? Then allow the mind to understand. Then the mind will reflect on what gone through in life. Through your life experience. What have you understood? And then from there, everything starts to stabilize and become clear. And that is contemplation, reflection, and inquiry. Whereas the other one, investigation, you investigate with sati, mindfulness. You just silence your mind and just aware. You will understand everything. You will understand how your mind functions, the dependent origination, everything. How thinking come to be. Then how from thinking, thought consciousness come to be. And how thought consciousness create the five aggregate of form and mind, then how this five aggregate of form and mind dependent on the sense basis arise. Then you got the 18 sense drive, 6 internal sense basis, 6 external, upon contact, the 18 sense drive all come together. So this is how you investigate. Investigation is not thinking, is it? Okay? Can I understand that? Investigation is using the awareness silent. Just like when you get angry that time, you're just silent. Go somewhere, sit quiet. After a while, this one slow down. Then suddenly, still. Oh, then you realize, through your silent awareness, you realize, I don't have to control anger, suppress anger, understand or not? Anger is condition arising. That's why it's energy inside that. If I silent the awareness, doesn't allow the thought to feed it with more energy, that anger, the energy field will dissipate in there and become cease, no more. Now, when anger is no more, the original state of mind return. How do you get angry? Either you see something you don't like, or hear something you don't like, or think of something that you don't like. Understand not? That is the cause. Through your wrong view, you react to it. Understand not? So when you have the understanding ready, through this investigation, you just silence your mind. And then you realize, the Buddha is right. No need to do anything. That's why meditation got no doing. Understand not? You only need to silence. But you cannot be silent because you heedless for so long. Understand not? Habitual tendency. So what must you do? Develop the spiritual faculty. Then the heedlessness is gone. Then develop daily mindfulness. More and more heedful, less and less heedless, less and less thought. More clarity. Then your mind can see things as they are. Understand not? It's not clouded by thought anymore. Can see or not? This is how the cultivation progresses. If you cannot be aware, forget about meditation. The Buddha already said, if you cannot be aware, you cannot be heedful. Once you cannot be heedful, you are heedless. Then you are as if dead. So whatever you do, develop heedfulness. Means develop mindfulness. Once you have that, then only you can investigate. Then only you can silence your mind. If you cannot silence your mind and stay silent and still inside, means aware inside, you cannot do that test that I told you on. Understand not? But if you can, after your mindfulness there already, everything that happened, don't resist, don't fight, just silent. Then you find out what happened. The original state of mind return. Perfect stillness. Pasati, tranquility, peace. Everything is already there. So you don't have to train your mind to be peaceful technically. Understand not? Understand not? Because the original state is already like that. No need to do anything. But you don't believe. Cannot lah, must practice one lah. Or must do this, do that. Otherwise, how can? But cultivation is like that. No do. Who do? The thought do. And who is the thought? Meditator. Where you say, I meditate. I need instruction. Instruction to do what? Note this, note that. So you go and use the thought and note. Understand? So who is meditating? The thought is meditating. And when the thought is there, you cannot be aware. You cannot have sati. You don't see that. That's why I say all thought-based meditation cannot help you. Cannot bring about the actual cultivation. So the understanding will bring you to train your mind to have the spiritual faculty. That's all you need. After the spiritual faculty comes, you're no longer heedless, you're already mindful, because your sada, virya, and sati already there. Then what must you do? You're just silent. Understand now? But the moment you are silent, sati is there. Understand now? Then when sati is there, it will investigate everything. It will understand everything. It will see everything. Your mental intention, everything it will see. How you become what you are. Who are you? What are you? The five. All you understand on. That's why sati is number one, leading to heedfulness. Apamada. Okay? Then we have to go a bit faster. Yes. Very good question. When you're having headache. You see, if it's a bodily condition, you have to develop the five daily contemplation. What did the Buddha say? the five daily contemplation. Huh? We just went through that day. The first three is what? Regarding your body. You just chant every day. This body of mine is of the nature to grow old, get sick and die, for he has not gone beyond old age, sickness and death. So whatever happened, the headache, there must be causes and conditions behind. So you know you become like that because of certain things. So the condition like that, headache arise. So when headache arise, what do you do? You have contemplated that body is like that, it has not gone beyond, means this is natural. It's a reality that each and every living being has to go through. Understand? Not only you. Understand? Suffering is a common reality to all living beings. Understand? So when you have that understanding, you don't go and worry about the headache, lament over the headache. Understand? Do what you have to do. Need to see a doctor, need to get medication, get it. Like when I have the blocked nose, why I ask you all, anybody got medicine or not? Give it to me. Because I never had this block until both was a block, 100%, I had to breathe through my mouth. I never had this one. And it's meant to be, because otherwise there is no condition for you all to do all this. And many people came and give me things. But they are very good things, very simple things. The wicks, the ointment, and I think a sticker, very good. Then, all the other medication I didn't eat, except maybe Ponchi one, the Chinese, don't know what, tablet. That one I just took two. So you know what happened? I recovered because I delivered the Dhamma, the Four Noble Truths, that day. After that, I felt that, I told you all, like 70% recover. After I finished, 90% recover already. So I don't know whether it's those few things that they give to me help, maybe also help. Then, together with the Dhamma. When I speak the Dhamma from the heart, the pure energy come out. Then I always recover. My wife will know, Yun Chan, they all will know. I can be like sneezing, like anything, sinus. Because last time I got sinus idea. Even no matter how, after I deliver Dhamma, I recover. Or I go and sleep one night, I recover. But block nose, first time, kena like that. I never had this before. That's why I need to ask for medicine. Otherwise, I don't need to ask for medicine. Or then, a lot of condition. And it's meant to be, I think. Because certain people have the affinity and the condition. And you do it sincerely. Then the other thing was, Anne gave me the vitamin C, the Usana one. Oh, very good. I think that one helped. I like vitamin C. Then I like water. I think I need to drink water. Because my son also told me, dehydration, no good. You must drink enough water. So headache, coming back to your question, if you are meditating, you don't have medication, you can just silent and just aware. Accept the reality then, second turning of the first noble truth. This noble truth of suffering is to be understood. First inquiry is, why did the Buddha say that? So that I understand what is suffering, Anasa. Then how can I understand? Means now is a good opportunity. Understand? You say, thank you, blessing in this guy. Now I have this disease, sickness. Then you experience it. You silent and feel. How it make your tactile consciousness label it as pain, headache. Understand? Then how it torment you. Understand? The normal way is that craving force that want to do away with this unpleasant experience. It's very strong. So if you are deluded, you get angry, unhappy, and so on. Then you like, aiyo. You know why you do that or not? Because you don't understand the Dhamma. You don't have wisdom. The person who has wisdom, very easy one, is it? Whatever happened, whether cancer or headache, same. You got two choices. Worry about it and become miserable over it is one choice. And most people do that. The second choice is very simple. Accept it as a reality. Your body is of the nature to get sick. For it has not gone beyond disease and sickness. So, do what you have to do. If you relax and be aware, it can go off well and good. how do I drink more water? And I said, then get somebody to put a wet sponge over the headache. And I said, you need to bring the temperature down. Then if you can take Panadol or what, if you have, take. And I said, if you don't believe in all this, then don't take. Then try whatever medication that can help you. Okay? We go to Heart Sutta 18. Otherwise, we don't have enough time. This one, you look somewhere at the center. Yesterday, Chui asked one. No need to take note. The four right effort, all there. So they are actually all in the notes. Okay. 18 Heart Sutta. Data 24 June 2012. The short notes. Daily mindfulness is very important to enable us to realize the real Dhamma as taught by the Buddha. Without this daily mindfulness, we are an awareness of all action and all movement, feeling, content of consciousness and Dhamma that arise and pass away from moment to moment within the present moment. The real wisdom can never arise. That's why four foundation of mindfulness is the only way, I tell you. Not one other way. You can find out yourself, no need to argue with people. Well, without sati, without awareness, without heedfulness, you cannot move. There's a four foundation of mindfulness. It's about mindfulness of the kaya, vedana, feeling, chitta, content of consciousness, and dhamma. You need to go through this. Understand? That's why you need heedfulness. Then after that, when there is no wisdom, one will be conditioned by one's delusion or sakayaditi, whereas wisdom lead to joy, peace, love, compassion, and harmony. So which do you choose? Delusion or wisdom? Choose wisdom, act. Don't act some more. Don't train your spiritual faculty, don't want to train your mindfulness, don't want to become heedful, then how? Understand? Wisdom cannot arise without heedfulness. That's why the Buddha, before he passed away, says, strive on with heedfulness. Okay, next paragraph. How you interpret or perceive a life situation or a phenomena at every moment of sense experience is very important. When you have wisdom, life itself is your teacher, understand? The enlightened one will perceive all things with wholesomeness. That's why they got no problem, understand? Like just now, headache, you think, something not good. But if you perceive with wholesomeness, means what? Oh, this is a blessing in this guy. Buddha say, second turning, first noble truth of suffering is to be understood. How? Now is the chance, understand? I experience it, so blessing in this guy. That's why you become happy, understand? Wholesome. That despite the headache, you're very happy, understand? Otherwise, you become miserable and complain. When is it going to go away? How come now they come? Before the retreat, don't come. Retreat come. Spoil my day. Cannot meditate. Blame the headache again. So, if you perceive it wholesomeness, this is a blessing in disguise. And like when I kena that block, no, I tell you, normal people panic already. Sui An was sleeping with me. You ask him. The nose, the mucus stuck inside there. And I was breathing through my nose. And for 4 or 5 hours, I cannot breathe at all. Totally no inhaling, except through the mouth. But I understand that there's a reason for it. So I just echo and flow and accept it. And you know how I slept through it? I just relax and silent. If I need to change my posture, I change. Then after that, I clear. But the morning I come, you can see that. I want to do the morning chanting. Say a few words only, cannot continue. Why? Well, I breathing to my mouth. If I breathe to my mouth, I talk, no air go in. You can choke to death, I tell you. Normal people will panic, totally cannot breathe. But then, if you understand, there is no problem. I still continue with what I'm supposed to do. Then after that, I tell you exactly, I need medication. Anything that can help clear the thing. Because for me, it's like that. if it doesn't block, nothing can disturb me already. I only need air to go in. Even sneezing, pain or whatever is not a problem. But when this one is blocked, it's like what? People don't give you air. So the whole body need air. So that's why I have to breathe through my mouth. And for that 4 hour plus, then I come here also, continue for another, don't know what, 1 hour, I think. We did the morning puja, then the exercise. Then exercise help a bit also. Then after that, breakfast. After that breakfast, I think I put on all the Vicks vapor up and all those things. Then the nose stick on. I think that one help. Then the moment I deliver that phone number through, oh, very good. Everything returned to normal. So until now, I am now very good. Now I am better than before I come. Because before I come, I told you I didn't have enough sleep. I actually slept quite late. Then after that, I wake up very early. Then the whole trip, we didn't really get to what they call rest. So because of that, when I came here, I was told they got flu. Just before we arrived, they just recover from the flu, and the flu virus is still around because it was raining and very cold, and a lot of people got flu, the nun and all things told them. So that virus must be around. So that's why I straight away kena the first night, because not enough physical energy and not enough maybe immunity. I think the vitamin C is very important. If you need vitamin C, you buy the correct one. A lot of people tell me, you got vitamin C, your nose problem gone. True or not? A lot of people told me. Yeah, there was one Dhamma friend also say that. Okay, we continue. Where were we? Oh, yeah. How you interpret or perceive Elijah? Okay, the second brother. Okay, life itself is a teacher, you know. That one is blessing in disguise. The enlightened one will perceive all things with wholesomeness. That's why they got no problem. If you perceive things with negativity, then everything become a problem. Understand? Not? Because you have your, what they call, you want things your way. So develop the wisdom to be at peace with all situations and learn to accept the reality of the moment so that one does not have to react to or worry about life, but instead always act with wisdom, following the Noble Eightfold Path to resolve all of life's situations amicably. This is the solution to all situations in life. Then the 4 right efforts are to abandon the first one, the unwholesome thought, speech, action that has already arisen. Second right effort is to prevent the arising of the unwholesome thought, speech and action that has yet to arise. To do the second one, you need mindfulness. You need the awareness to be aware of your mental intention. And then you can prevent it from arising. Then the third one is to develop and cultivate the right thought, right speech and right action, means all of the goodness and wholesomeness, the virtue. Then the last one is to maintain and refine upon any right thought, right speech and action that is already in you. So these are the 4 right efforts. Then there are 3 types of suffering. Suffering within suffering, which the Buddha called dukkha dukkata. This is the most obvious, ordinary form of suffering. Suffering within the physical form, like birth, old age, sickness and death. If the mind via delusion cling and attach to this suffering, then there is double suffering. Understand? That is, not only the body is sick, your mind also affected, also sick. That's why the Buddha always say, when body is sick, do not allow your mind to be sick. Mind and body are separate entities. Accept the reality and do what you must do. Understand? Then where got problem? Problem is when you fear Understand? When you perceive it with fear or negativity, then it becomes a problem. Then you have fear, worry, anxiety. Then you're not happy. You want things your way. That's why you suffer. You become miserable. Then the second type of suffering is due to unsatisfactoriness of condition state. Means sankara dukkata. Means suffering that arises due to your thinking. Understand? Suffering due to mental attachment. We are attachment to the sankara aggregate of mind. Attachment to your views, your opinion. You become very rigid. Understand? You become very judgmental. Want to be right. Honestly. So this is how you suffer. You attach to your loved one. You attach to all the things you perceive. So sankhara dukkata is suffering due to your sankhara activity. Then the third one is suffering caused by change. Viparinama dukkata. Everything is impermanent or unsatisfactory. And if one cannot accept this reality or this universal characteristics of impermanent and suffering, then suffering will arise. We are wanting things your way. So this one is very clear. Everything has this universal characteristics of change, impermanent. They are condition arising. When condition like that, it has to be like that. So don't fight the reality. If you want to improve it or change it, can. Work towards the condition for it to arise. Understand? And then you can still achieve it. That's why you don't go and deludedly want it. Understand? That is craving. But if you know, let's say you want to be a doctor, an engineer, or a professional, or a good Dhamma practitioner, you know the causes and conditions for you to realize that has to be established. Then only you become that. Understand? To be a doctor, you need to study in an academic. Then you must have love for that profession, otherwise very difficult. Similarly, to be an engineer is the same. You must have the basic qualification, and then you go into a proper uni, then you can graduate. But to be a Dhamma practitioner, you need spiritual understanding. So spiritual understanding comes from understanding the essential Dhamma that the Buddha teach. And then you can progress very fast. First thing is, most important thing the Buddha say is to be heedful. Okay, I work from there. Understand? To be heedful means to be ever mindful, to cultivate the meditation as taught by the Buddha, which is Noble Eightfold Path. So how can I do that? Then I realize I'm not peaceful, not heedful, not hardly aware. Then you have to find out from the teaching, why are you not peaceful? Why are you like that? Then you realize the Buddha said the five hindrances is the problem. Then what did the Buddha say? You have to cultivate the opposite five spiritual art. You start from there. How to cultivate? The puja. The puja is what you need to develop. Every day you chant the chanting, which is part of the puja. He asks you to reflect on the nine great virtues of the Buddha. Who the Buddha is, how special he is, then the Dhamma, how fantastic the Dhamma is. And what are the characteristics of the Dhamma? Then the enlightened disciple of the Buddha. So every day you chant, reflect and contemplate, your faith will be very strong, unshakable. Then it will lead to a very strong spiritual zeal or tenacity to cultivate, to walk this. And then definitely you will cultivate. Then your mindfulness will arise because every day you bow, you did it mindfully. Then you train your mind. Understand? Decondition your heedless thinking, then anchor it to something, an object of meditation. Then after that, go into the daily mindfulness. Four posture, then daily mind. And this is how you start to develop the initial wisdom. And then you can become a Dhamma practitioner. But these are the conditions behind it. Just like wanting to be an engineer. So all this, you will develop the understanding. Okay, we go to the next one. Next page. Viparinama dukkata comes under the category of unsatisfactoriness due to impermanence. All the pleasant and happy feeling that man can experience fade away and disappear. As the Buddha said, even the feeling that a yogi or meditator experienced by attaining the four meditative absorption, or what they call jhana, come under the category of viparinama dukkata, dukkha. Because they are transient, understand not? Impermanent. And they lead to suffering if there is delusion. So dukkha and transient and because they are transient, dukkha and subject to change. But the dukkha mentioned here is certainly not the pain and suffering that people in general endure. What the Buddha point out here is that all things impermanent are unsatisfactory. They suffer change every moment. And this change brings about unsatisfactoriness. For whatever is impermanent is unsatisfactory. So this one, the Buddha actually constantly mentioned it. In Pali is yada nicang tang dukang, because of impermanent. Anicang, see? Yada nicang, anicang, tam dukang. That is, there is no lasting bliss. Like I used to mention, that day at the Tuesday class, they say, is happiness suffering? Oh yes, happiness is not suffering. Attachment to happiness is suffering. That's why happiness can have, can enjoy. But don't attach. Attach means what? When cannot get it repeated, you become miserable. Then you say, bad meditation. That's how you suffer. So I always say, all good state of mind is a prelude to suffering if you don't understand. So you tend to attach and cling. So nothing wrong with happiness. Nothing wrong with good food. Nothing wrong with having nice home and all those things. Nice, drive a nice car. If the condition is there, can allow you to have, go ahead and pepper yourself. What the Buddha say? Don't attach, don't grasp, understand not? Understand not? Grasp at what? Grasp at the form, physical form, external form, means the car you buy, the house you have, the food you have, the shirt and all that. Don't grasp. You can use, you can have, but don't attach, understand not? Yeah, what is your question? So they suffer, they become miserable. So sister, you say like celebrity, they got fame, very famous. Then after that, they become not famous. They become miserable. So, but that one is different. That one is different. That one is like because they call it shelf life. Shelf life. You know, everything got shelf life. Your beauty, your youth, all got shelf life. Shelf life over, like my wife say, lao ke bu already. No more like before. Because she used to go market, you know, the vegetable seller say, hey, leng loi. Then every time I say, wow, you, at this age still got people call you leng loi. Ah, your lao ke bu, because she dyed her hair. And vegetable people want to make you feel good and so. Leng chai, leng loi. So that's why these are what society is all about, understand? So if you have wisdom, you don't fight it, understand? Means at least that person got this intention to make you feel good, understand? Otherwise, uncle, ape. I got one classmate, uni mate, I think Sui An and Mi Feng don't know, Wee Chi Hong. Well, he didn't get married, you know, until about 50 years old when he got married, you know. So his children is only 9 years old, I think, his eldest. Before he got married, at the age of 40 something and 50, every time he go somewhere, those sales girl come, say, uncle can buy. He say, actually you want to buy or not? Call me uncle, don't buy. They are not very uncle. Yeah, he got no hair. So that was the reality. And he got so upset over people calling him uncle. I always tell my wife that sooner or later they call me ape already. No more uncle already. Because that time I didn't dye my hair. So what? People call you ape, ape la. Understand? Or lao yi, lao yi la. If you feel offended, means what? The ego is there, understand? Last time, I very simple. My mother, I don't know, I told you before, very poor. Not really very poor, but very thrifty. So he will go and buy cloth, the $1 1 meter one, then go and make the clothing for us. So I wear, the sleeve also one long, one short. Then everything not right. Then easily torn. So I went to school. The classmates all laugh at me. I said, "Tio la, that one." I said, "So what? Laugh la." I said, "End of the day is whether you inside got quality or not." So when I was standard one, I was last in the class. Standard two, second last in the class. I don't know English. So the report card come, 10 subject or 0. Last in the class. My father saw the thing, he said, "And now, no more English school or Chinese school." But standard 2 was the fantastic one. I got second last. 9 paper or 0, 1 paper 100 mark. Arithmetic. Yeah, I play card, I no need to see the number open only, I know. 8, 9, 17. No need to add. I see card. 2 card, I know what I want, the 3rd card. 9 and 2, I look for 9. I want 30 points. So, the math, the teacher got problem. No? He go and ask the headmaster. Then the headmaster came. I remember, I sitting in front. The headmaster said, "What's your problem?" He said, "I got one student. Got problem now." "Why?" I thought student got problem. He said, "All the other subject, 9 subject, all 0. Max got 100. He's supposed to get a book prize." The whole class, the whole form, 100 mark highest. Then the headmaster very smart. He asked, "Anybody else get 100? The teacher checked. He replied, "No, only him." Give to him, he didn't cheat. That's how, later on, when I know the language, I became very good, very fast. Then I topped the school and the class. So, life is like that. Don't be egoic and don't always have this viewpoint. If people look down upon you, talk bad about you. I don't know why. Since young, I very simple one. You can say what you like on. Okay, we go on. Next one is very good. Meditation. Question 1. As always emphasized by Brother Teo, right understanding and right view are very important. If one lacks this, then how can one progress along the path of Dhamma? Now you understand. Noble Eightfold Path, the first path factor is what? Right view. Why? I ask you the next question, you will answer yourself already. If there is no right view, what will happen to the second link, third link, the path factor? Wrong view lead to wrong thought, isn't it? How to have right thought? Understand? And when your thought is wrong, it will condition wrong action, wrong speech, and wrong livelihood. Correct or not? Then all kaput already, understand? All go wrong. That's why without right view, how can you proceed? Understand? So right view is very important. So what are right view? That's why I answer here. According to the Buddha, the first of the Noble Eightfold Path factor is samadhi or right view. Without the right view, you can't proceed with the cultivation of the Noble Eightfold Path, which is the meditation as taught by the Buddha. Because if your you are wrong, then your thought will be wrong. As thought has mental intention, it conditions your speech and action and the way you live your life. Then all of the other subsequent path factor of Noble Eightfold Path will also be wrong. Hence, the importance of having right view or right understanding as the first power factor within Noble Eightfold Path. So now you understand, huh? Why is it so important? The three right view with regards to all the spiritual law that governs all of life and existence are very important. And they are the law of karma, karma niyama, the law of the mind, chitta niyama, like the dwelling. Law of the mind, the most important one is dwelling, dependent on origin. So the Buddha always talk about this. He said there is no self inside there. There is no one inside there. Everything is conditioned arising, dependent, originating. Understand not? Dependent on something, something arises. Causes and conditions like that, this thing arises. Understand not? Causes and conditions cease to be, this thing cease to be. Understand not? That's why he said, imas means sati idang hoti. Imas means asati idang ahoti. Means what? When this arises, that arises. Because you create duality. When you say this is good, not like that means what? Bad, automatically. Imas means asati, idang arhoti. When this duality don't arise, when you don't give a meaning or a convention to something, when you don't say this is good, then bad cannot arise, understand or not? Then what happened? Thing is just the way it is, understand or not? No right, no wrong. Understand? No good, no bad. Understand? We are good and bad, right and wrong is a convention. Understand? Convention means what? Relative, subjective. Understand? Good according to who? Good according to you is different from good according to her. Understand? Right according to you is different from right according to me. So if I like you, also deluded, we argue. Understand? Want to be right. Understand? I say this is good. He said no, this is no good. Especially your son, your children and you. Daddy, mommy say, you must do this, good for you. Your children say, mommy, this is no good for me. You say, boy cannot go out, cannot watch TV, cannot have girlfriend. Now it's study time, career first. Well, I tell you, your son and your daughter will rebel against you. So you cannot, because they are lying, understand? You advise and let them decide. So you will have to develop all this understanding. Eh? So now, we finished two. The third one is law of all the other nature's law, which are the truth, the reality, Dhamma Niyama. The most important Dhamma Niyama is the handful of leaf. Four noble truth, understand? So this one very clear. Nature's truth. Anything that can explain the way things are is a truth. Correct or not? That's why religion that monopolizes the truth is dangerous. The Buddha's advice via Dhammapada verse 183 is to avoid all evil, do good, and purify the mind. Comes from the first right view of law of karma. This one I explained already, Because of this law, you are born of it, here to it, condition supported by it. You are what you are because of karma. So karma is so important. If you don't take care of karma, you are going to become miserable. Understand? So how to take care of karma? Avoid all evil, do good. Correct or not? Then develop the wisdom, purify your mind. So the first advice, all the advice of the Buddha come from this right view. Then after that, how to avoid evil? The Buddha recommend keep the five precepts. How to keep? Train your mind to be ever mindful. That's why you have to be mindful of your evil intention. Otherwise, you cannot keep your precept. That's why it's a training rule. It helps you to cultivate your mindfulness. So that one I gone through, which is also one of the five daily contemplation that the monks are told to reflect on daily. Hence the importance of taking care of one's karma. Because the daily contemplation, the last one, is what we always go through. Each and every one of us is born of our karma, here to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma, and we are what we are because of your karma. So if you have that understanding, you will determine not to neglect your karma anymore. Understand? No? You take care of karma, karma take care of your life, because all of your life depends on karma. I always say 99.9999% karma, karmically driven. only the 0.000% that is the enlightened one. Karma cannot catch up them. It still come, but because of the wisdom, the karma cannot disturb them. We have no more suffering. And karma is very funny. No more suffering, it reverses itself. Understand? Unless it's very heavy karma, then they have to take it. Normal karma cannot affect you, it will reverse. Because of your wisdom. That's why wisdom can help you free. Okay, how do we take care of karma? We need to train our mind to be ever mindful and heedful of our mental intention so that our actions, speech and thought are always right and appropriate to avoid all the negativity of evil karma. We are keeping our precepts and cultivating their ennoblers. You know what is ennobler, huh? First precept, or you don't know what is ennobler. First precept is don't kill, or cause harm to fellow living beings. What is the ennobler? Instead of just don't kill, ennobler is what? Have compassion, understand or not? Have love. That is the ennobler. Then, second one, don't steal. What is the ennobler? Be generous. Cultivate the ennobler of generosity, understand or not? Because if you want to like steal and break the precept means you're selfish, understand or not? You are not generous. Then the third one is what? Sexual misconduct. What is the ennobler? Contentment, very good. Contentment. What did the other one say? Joyce, what did you say? Oh, be faithful, oh, very good. Yeah. Be faithful means have contentment, correct? You are not contented with one wife, then you're not faithful. So both also quite good answer. Fourth one is what? No, telling lie. What is the ennobler? Truthfulness. Cultivate truthfulness. Then cultivate all the ennobler of speech. Truthful speech, good speech, means avoid the four type of wrong speech. What are the four type of wrong speech? Quickly. Harsh speech. Then? Slandering, backbiting. Hurtful speech. Then? Frivolous speech. You means sweet nothing. When you want to bluff your girlfriend, oh, today you're very pretty, you look very nice. Then he says, sorry, I was late. Okay lah, no problem. But after married, whoa, different again. The last one is what? No. That one is under frivolous speech. Last one is lie, outright lie. So, tell lie. Why? Selfish intention. Got something. Dare not reveal, especially when they are not faithful. That's why they lie. Or they got a motive behind. That's why they lie. Sometimes they like their boyfriend, then they know this girl and their boyfriend very ngam, then they come and lie and instigate. Hey, that boy, he say this thing about you, then he do this. So this girl supposed to have a relationship. You sure or not? Cannot be like I was with him or not. You don't believe I show you photo. Nowadays, handphone, smartphone, very easy. You go to certain angle, or it's like the two talking and having something. So nowadays, all this, one day for smartphone, internet, and all those things can create a lot of problems. We have to go on, Okay, we finish how to take care, how do we take care of karma, is it? Oh, ennobler, not finish, So last one is what? Intoxicant. What is the ennobler? Drink more. Stay sober, stay heedful, understand or not? That's the ennobler. Don't be Hitler. The Hitler drink a lot and drown their sorrow. You know the Chinese song, Ku Jiu Man Pei. Ku Jiu Man Pei. That's why when you become Hitler, you go and drink. Then they try to escape by taking, I don't know, they say, the pill you take, you shake your head on. And the CPU. Nowadays, some, they overtake until so common, no? Die, you know. Okay, we go on. So, we finished the ennobler. This will enable us to heed the first two advice of the Buddha. Then the third advice is to develop the cultivation of the Four Noble Truth to purify one's mind. Okay, question two. When we are on the wrong path, we are having wrong view, how can we come back or come out of it? How? Oh, okay. Kaya meta fair na. So, I forgot what I write. I didn't read. After only we read. What must you do? Just now you do a lot. Repent. Ask for forgiveness. Understand? Otherwise, you got karmic obstruction through abuse of the triple gem. I tell you. Jia bi ta in Hokkien. Very kao lan. So, you have to understand the nature's law. You ask for forgiveness, the triple gem sure forgive you. We are all the enlightened beings, every now and then they will give forgiveness to all. They always recite like that, like I always recite, whomsoever from the distant past to the present, who have whether knowingly or unknowingly caused any misunderstanding or negativity to this karmic nature of mine. To this nature of mine, not coming nature, to this nature of mine. May I sincerely forgive them. They will give you one. And you ask, no more problem. And even that sincerity to ask, the nature's law already weakened the obstruction. Where you are willing to repent, nature will give you a chance to move on. But if you don't repent and ask for forgiveness, means you still deluded. Nature cannot forgive you. It's a nature's law. So, forgiveness is very important. Okay, we read the answer. This is a very good question. Now you can understand the great wisdom of Lord Buddha in teaching us how to make sure that we won't have wrong view and follow wrong path. We are following his advice to sincerely cultivate the below important cultivation and aspiration. Taking the three refuge, Buddha, Dhamma, and Sangha, with strong faith and sincerity, via understanding is important. There is no refuge safe except the triple gem, where the Four Noble Truths are found to realize the enlightenment. That's why you have to take refuge. Then to make the aspiration by reciting Ipmina Punyang Kamina. This one I teach you already, right? So that you avoid all foolish, may out the wise and enlightened one, so that Nibbana can be realized. The third one is ask for forgiveness. This one, the time when I answer, I didn't put in. You reap what you sow. So can this karma be experienced in this very life? Answer. It depends on which chitina or determining thought moment. The karma is being committed according to Abhidhamma. That's why I say according to Abhidhamma. There are seven determining thought moments for chitina or mental intention to condition karma. And if it happened during the first determining thought moment, then it is effective this life. If there is condition for it to arise, otherwise it will cease to be. Similarly, for the seventh determining thought moment, it is only effective up till next life, if there is condition for it to arise. Whereas those occurring between the second and the sixth determining thought moment will be around all the time. So, it is possible. Okay, we finish. Wow, today very fast. Thank you. Okay, number 12. Heart Sutta number 12. Number 12, we finish the first part, Appamada. I read through quickly. Heart Sutta 12. Appamada or heedfulness means mind that is ever mindful without thought within to cultivate the meditation as taught by the Buddha, following Dhammapada verse 23. Like a relaxed inner awareness that is always aware and without thought to see things as they are, to see reality or the truth within all mental, physical, and nature's phenomena. 12 Heart Sutta, 12. Oh, you finished already, yeah? Oh, yeah, reversing the light all finish, I see, good. Save one more. Okay, 13. 13 is what you need. That's why all the Dhammapada verse is all here. 13 is very fast one, finish also, Wow, very good, Oh, so fast, Wow, okay. Wow, like that we can cover a lot, today. Okay. Remember to ask me to teach you tonight, this one. This one is the most important one. After all the Heart Sutta note and all things, the first one is this one. This one summarizes to you everything about the practice. And this one, you understand, you jia bi liao. I tell you, you sure awaken. This one is very well done. We should thank Sister Lee. She come up with the human being, a lot of human beings. Then this one explain to you how the five aggregate of grasping, how heedless living, mundane living, supramundane living, enlightenment and all those things. Then how you return to the source, how you return all external phenomena back to mind to consciousness back to the true mind, then true mind back to the source. So everything is there. So remind me, otherwise you go home already, you have to read yourself. Okay, Heart Sutta 19. 13 halfway, you tell me you finish already. Halfway, okay. Sure. Second page didn't do, Dhammapada verse 1, I didn't read, I think. Part 2, Okay, Dhammapada verse 21, 22, 23, we finish, Good, thank you. So, Dhammapada verse 1. This 2 is the twin verse, The twin verse of the Dhammapada. Dhammapada got 423 sayings of the Buddha, truth, eternally valid. The first 2, this twin verse, most important one. That's why the Buddha put it first and second. He every time teach the monk these 2 things. Because one lead to suffering, the other one lead to happiness. He said, your life, you decide. This is what I realized. Go and investigate and confirm. So, Dhammapada verse 1, the Buddha said, lead to suffering. Mind is the forerunner of all things. Mind is chief. Everything arises from the mind. True or not? When the mind doesn't arise, you cannot perceive anything. The world doesn't exist. Then what happened? If one speak, act, and think with a wicked mind or unwholesome mind, there has the 3 evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. The Buddha said, then suffering will follow you like the wheel that follow the hoof. Understand? Because if you know your mind is the forerunner, think mind is chief, everything arises with the mind. What must you do? You must take care of mine, understand? Don't be heedless anymore. You still want to heedless and let the guy do whatever he like. Heedless means what? Don't care, understand? You heedful means what? You serious about life, you care, understand? So if you know mind is the forerunner of all things, everything is the mind that is responsible. All our karma is our mental intention. So you somehow don't want to take care of mind. That's why Dhammapada was one little suffering. Then what happens if you understand that this mind is very important and you take care of mind? When you take care of mind, you are heedful. Then you will speak, act, and think following the Noble Eightfold Path. Understand not? Then you have a pure and wholesome mind that is free of the three evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. Then happiness will follow you like the shadow that never leaves you. So if you don't want to have suffering, if you want to have happiness, very easy then. Avoid Dhammapada was one. Avoid being heedless. Understand not? So that evil root don't arise. Then you always happy. Why are you not happy? Because you heedlessly indulge in Dhammapada was one. You say, I don't want to suffer. But everything you do, Dhammapada was one. Understand not? Act angry, speak angry, word, thought, all deluded one. That's a wrong thought. What are wrong thought? Thought that make you miserable, fearful, sorrowful, selfish, emotionally negative, fearful. Now, these are all wrong thought. Understand? So that's why you say, I don't want to suffer. But every action, speech, and thought you arise is all negative one. So how not to suffer? This is a nature's law. No? We give example. When you get angry, do you suffer? No? Oh, stress, understand? Not only you suffer, no? You can become violent, no? Understand? Yeah? You can cause to kill, no? And harm, no? Understand? No? Anger is an evil root, make you so evil. No? Then when you get angry and you act out of it, that's what transgression is all about. Then you create violation of karma, understand? No? You can kill, you can harm. Out of anger. So, it's the root of all evil. That's why you will become miserable, suffer. Not only when you have anger that time you suffer, after that you know what happens or not. People will come after you, the law will come after you, understand? If you're not careful, you go and get angry with somebody very violent, especially car accident nowadays. You think the fellow small size, easy to bully, come down. You pay, you cause the accident. That guy just take out a handphone. Real case, no, in SS2. Take out a handphone, just call the friend. I'm in this road, come, I need your help. So he thought, he called friend on him. That guy with those friend come, he just tell them, about this fellow, pow, kena hospitalized, I tell you. That's what they do, because they are, I think like Cantonese show, kuak zai. What is kuak zai? Cunning. I thought it's gangsterism. Cunning on. But according to the Hong Kong show, it's gangster, no? Kuak zai. Very cunning, correct? Very kuak. But they really whack you. No? So you cannot sometimes assume. That's why it's best not to get angry, understand? Happened already. Then nowadays a lot of car purposely come and bang you. You heard a lot of report. Police also warn you. Don't stop, go police station. Understand? Especially lady driver, they really rob you. Understand? And purposely late night they bang you. And there have been a lot of incident. Okay, we go on. So these two finish. Why the teaching or Dhamma as taught by the Buddha during his time different as it get passed down over the year? This one I explained already. No need to explain again. I see what I write, the answer. Because the Dhamma was passed down via using word and speech, and words are subject to various type of interpretation, hence the deviation. So now you understand, Example, when asked about what is the First Noble Truth, as taught by the Buddha. More often than not, we got the standard answer, very popular accepted answer, life is suffering. And this is very dangerous because the Buddha never say that. What is the first noble truth? The Buddha instead proclaimed that there is a noble truth that talks about suffering. Understand? Or? Otherwise, the Buddha won't tell you the third noble truth, suffering need not be. Understand? Or? That's why life is not necessarily suffering. Understand? Or? When you don't have wisdom, then the first noble truth, reality that talks about suffering, you will be afflicted. Understand? Or? That is the first noble truth. Or? Not life is suffering. Understand? There is a noble truth that warns you that there are certain realities in life and existence that you have to confront. And if you don't have the wisdom, you will suffer. Understand? This is the noble truth of suffering. Means it tells you suffering is everywhere, prevalent. Understand? If you don't have the wisdom. But if you have the wisdom, suffering need not be. Understand? That's why life need not be suffering. Understand? If life is suffering, no need to come. Understand? Okay, then next one. The Buddha instead proclaimed that there is a first noble truth that talks about suffering or dukkha, and according to him, there are eight conditions in life or realities of life and existence that can give rise to suffering when one confronts them without wisdom. Eh? That is the reality of birth, old age, sickness, and death. When you are with people whom you don't like, when there is a separation from your loved one and your prized possession, things that you hold on to dearly, when you cannot get what you want, or when things don't go your way, or when your expectation is not met. No matter who you are and how wealthy and powerful you are, if you live long enough, you will confront all the above realities. The Buddha then went on to proclaim that there is a cause behind all suffering. And the cause is always craving, born of delusion. That's why I always get the source. But the standard book always say craving. Then they end there. This is the second noble truth. Then under the third noble truth, the Buddha says suffering need not be, because there is a noble truth that explains the possibility of the cessation of all suffering in the here and the now. Then finally, the Buddha taught the fourth noble truth, which is the meditation as taught by the Buddha. Namely, the Noble Eightfold Path. And if one were to cultivate this Noble Eightfold Path, it will lead to the end of all suffering. So, clear? Okay, important definition. This one is for the Mahayana. 自在 means at ease. The translation is, the Mandarin word is me in the moment. Understand not? That's why you are aware. Means at ease, 自在, natural, very natural. Understand? No thought inside. Understand? 自在, 你很自在. False thinking means what? Heedless thinking. Because the Mahayana use this word, 妄想, 打妄想. So there is heedless thinking. One is not right here, means lost in thought. Understand not? The Mahayana expression. When you are not right here, means you are not with your awareness. Understand not? Means you are lost in thought. First pronunciation is 觉. 觉, enlightenment, means enlightenment. And the second, 觉, means to stir up trouble. This one not important for you. 觉 and 觉, yeah. Same word. Training of mind to be heedful. Okay. This is the question the sister asked. What's your name? I forgot. Oh, you are Christina. Oh, I every time don't know your name. I know you come to Thursday class very often. Yeah, sit in front. That's why I can remember. Thanks, your question, very good. Training of the mind to be heedful. Two steps are involved. First, mind sweeping method plus metta. That one you know, in the meditation we teach many times already. Then the last one is Oh, sorry. Followed by the 6R. 6R is a technique. Technique that one American monk used. I think his name is Venerable Vimara Ramsey. His technique is not bad. Where is the cordless? Pass me the cordless. I need to write. Okay, thank you.
Next time, remind me to bring mine. Mine very long. Mine can extend until there. Okay, the 6R is a skillful means to do away the heedless thinking. This one you can understand. Maybe it can help you. But you have to understand clearly. Otherwise, you become gullible. You end up like vipassana. You think that if you don't 6R, you are not doing vipassana. You are not doing meditation. And they call the 6R right effort. But what they don't understand is, end of the day, no doing. As long as you continue to do, you can never free. That part, they still don't know. So the first R is what? No. Recognize. No, recognize. The first R. When you recognize that there is tension, you say, tightness or stress within. Yes. When there is something causing you suffering, according to him, he say, your membrane here tighten, the brain here. So any tension, any stress within, you recognize it. Like inside the mental one, he said. Sometimes when you get angry, you recognize there is anger. Actually, it's aware. That this is disturbing you. Then unhappy thought. Fearful thought. You recognize. Then what you do? Second R. Release. Release. You release it. Means what? Don't have anything to do with it. Not really let go. Release is like a prisoner. You release the flow. Yes, disconnect yourself. Means have nothing to do with it. You release yourself from it. You don't want to have anything to do with it. And then what happened? Means your attachment to this thing that's stir up from the brain, you just release it. Means no need to think about it anymore. Whatever. Means don't give attention to it anymore. When you give attention, means what? I already told you, when your consciousness is there, energy build up. You are feeding that thought. Then it cannot stop. But if you release it and don't give it attention, then that thing got no more energy. It will slowly dissipate and go back to the original state. The third one is what? Relax. He said, this is a very important stage. Relax. When you relax means what? You don't want to react. I relax. Means I accept whatever. Then I don't want to have anything to do with it. Anasana means actually supposed to be silent. Then after that, what happened? No. The fourth one is what? Did I write it there for you? I didn't write. I said, I also had to try to recall. You see, after you recognize, you release, you relax. Yes, I remember now. No. Re-smile, you see. Re-smile. No, exactly like the mind sweeping method I teach you. Understand? Radiant smile. Understand? Well, when you smile, no more tension, you see. Understand? Then the fifth one is, what is the fifth R? Eh? The sixth one is repeat, is it? This one don't do. Don't go and repeat. Return. Return to your breathing. Thanks, Mifong. Good. Return to your object of meditation. Object. Oh. Well, later on, he also switched from Vipassana. According to him, he was 20 years in Burma doing all those things. Then he realized it doesn't make him really progress. So he switched back to Anapanasati or meditation, which is Anapanasati, means to the breath. So these two steps is useful. Understand? Recognize here means aware. Understand? Aware that the mind has get entangled. Understand? That the mind has got entangled. Understand? Your mind react already, stir already. That's why it has stress. It's causing you fear, insecurity, unhappiness. Understand? So you recognize that the mind has suffering. Understand? Then you release that thing. Means don't have anything to do with it. You just relax every part of your body. Understand? Like our mind sweeping method. Relax. Means feel, relax. Understand? But he didn't teach feel. He said relax. If you don't understand how to relax, you will do all sorts of things. That is subject to interpretation. Even this word, understand? But if you say feel and relax, then it's different, understand? You don't think, don't fit it with any more mental energy, understand? That's why whichever part is not relaxed, you feel. Then you silently relax it. Relax is very easy. Just make yourself feel at ease, understand? Because you can have a radiant smile, it will actually automatically, because when you smile, there is joy. When there is joy, there is no stress. Understand? So he used this skillful mean. Relax, then re-smile. Re-smile means you cannot get angry. So then you relax. Then after that, return to your object of meditation. Means forget about everything. Just train yourself to be in the moment. Sati. We are mindfulness of the in and out breath. This is training to develop sati. Understand? Training to develop sati. We are anchoring to the breath. So you must always remember, this is a technique, understand? Or a method that they use, understand? A technique or a method that they use. So this is just a skillful means to train the mind. Understand? And this is not meditation. Understand? Just train your mind to be heedful, to be aware. Understand? To have less tension and stress. The less tension and stress actually is to decondition the heedless thinking, but he doesn't know. Well, he said this one worked for him. Understand? But if you go and repeat, you die already. You don't go and repeat. Repeat means what? You think you don't 6 hours, you are not meditating. Training of mind is after you already have sati, don't do anymore. Like anapanasati. After you have trained, kaya nupasana, what the Buddha asks you to do? The second category of practice under kaya nupasana. What do you do? Four posture. After that, don't do this anymore. That's it. You're my trainer. Sati got ready. Then, mindful of four posture. Then the third one. Daily mindful. The connecting activity. This is the meditation in the four foundation of mindfulness. People forgot, become gullible. Every time, don't note rising, falling, don't do this method, technique, I'm not meditating. Every time I note this technique, do this meditation, I am meditating. You sure go wrong, I tell you. Because you don't know the purpose. You do without understanding. The purpose is very good. So that the tension, the stress, whatever, you release, relax, re-smile, and you become peaceful. But the intention is not to become peaceful. It's to decondition your heedless thinking so that you think less. Understand? So that's why relax. Actually, the best is just feel relaxed. Understand? Otherwise, you cannot release. You say release, you try. Because that thing will come and haunt you. Understand? Because you got wrong view. Understand? No, not fire. This recognize, when you recognize, then you feel and let it be. Feel and relax. Means the mind just say, I'm not going to fight this tension, this stress, or this wrong thought, or whatever suffering. I just want to feel. Then I want to just relax. When I feel and relax, I don't give it any more energy. I feel. I don't think anymore. Then I just want to relax. If you do that, actually you are deconditioned, the healer thing. Every time you feel and relax, you don't think, right or not? And then you sweep it down. Again, feel and relax. Like just now, the momentum. After you stop this momentum of healer thinking through this mind sweeping method, it takes a very strong negative force to swing it again, no? To go back into the heedless habitual tendency again, no? Understand? No? So that's why when you are doing this, you train, then you stabilize it. If you don't stabilize it, you go out into daily life, heedless again. It's a habitual tendency, very difficult to stabilize. Understand? No? Very difficult to reverse. Like they always say, want to change a person's character and habit, very difficult. Understand? No? But want to make him habitual, very easy. Ask him to go and do all the thing that he like, horse racing, womanizing, downfall very fast. That one, no need to encourage one. You just mention only, you say, "Wow, good, we go." To do good is not easy. But to do all those funny things that give rise to excitement is very easy. So this 6 hours is basically like that. No, repeat this whole process. Every time got stress, do this. When are you going to get wisdom? Like that. You every time got problem, go and silence yourself, release. That is the third way that the Buddha advised. But the fourth way the Buddha advised is you have to trace the origination factor. How your mind stir and get angry and got tension. Then through your mindfulness investigation, you retrospectively reverse it. That one nobody teach. It's in the teaching. Understand? If you continue to do this, every time you got problem, go and release. Understand?
Because when I read the word repeat, it's going back to that same old...
No, repeat the whole process. Oh no. He didn't say that same thing. Anything, he said, you repeat. Every time you got stressed, you repeat. So now I ask you one question. If you repeat, you become more peaceful, more calm. But do you know how to stop it? There is no wisdom here, is there? Clear or not? And he believed if you do long enough, no more. He said, every time you release, the mind train itself to become more peaceful, more peaceful, more peaceful. Means what? Everything that happened in the world also, he go and release. Understand? Release. Until very peaceful, very calm. But, you never trace the origination factor. Trace origination factor means what? how does this stress come about? Like anger. The Buddha said, you go and trace, go and investigate. So when you are silent and mindful inside, because this awareness will pick up whatever that arises through the sixth sense door, correct or not? Because these are sense bases. Only this sixth sense door can arise consciousness, nowhere else. So it's one of your sense door that causes you to react, stir, and get angry. Let's say somebody scolds you, so through hearing consciousness, you get angry. Or you see somebody that you don't like, through your memory, you get angry. Or you think of something that makes you very angry. So most common is these three doors. Either you hear, you see, or you think. So what did the Buddha say? I trace the origin of all. It's because at the moment of hearing, I don't have wisdom, I got wrong view, I react. Understand not? That's why at the moment of hearing, without wisdom, yoniso manasikara, you will react. Understand not? You cannot stop. That's why it becomes grasping every year. Understand not? So the Buddha say, after you understand, after you trace the origination factor, you retrospectively reverse it. That's why Dhamma Nupassana, you remember that? First category of cultivation is what? The five hindrances. These hindrances that make you not peaceful and heedless, you have to be aware. Understand? So when you're aware, what happened? The Buddha said, you will understand how the non-arisen hindrance come to be. Understand? How it come to be? It come to be because you are heedless. You are deluded. Understand? Habitual thinking, wrong view, you react, like and dislike everything. Understand not? You understand how the non-arisen hindrance come to be. Then as you silence your mind and continue to investigate, then after a while, because this anger cannot last for anger forever, understand not? Then how does it disappear? When you enough anger, you're angry until enough already. Forget about this fellow. You go and go for a walk, or go for a smoke, or go for a drink, or you go out with your friend and have fun. You don't think about it. When you don't think about it, then it ceases to be. So you come to know how the non-arisen hindrance come to be. Then you are aware of how the arisen hindrance ceases to be. Understand not? Then he say you have to retrospectively reverse it. Means what? If I know I stir because of delusion, I got to fix this delusion, isn't it? I mean, I must have right view. I don't know. That's why right view is very important. Then I know. If I accept him for what he is, I don't have to react, isn't it? I don't have to react and label him as bad, wrong, and all those things, isn't it? So if I accept him for what he is, means he is what he is. Angry people say angry thing. Deluded people do deluded thing. Oh, then I don't have to react. Understand? The ego is not triggered off. Understand? Otherwise, the ego say, how can this guy say this to me? He's hella rude, no? Oh, I supported him. I actually helped him. He did that to me, no? The egoic mind. That's why you stir your mind, you react. Understand? So if you know this is the cause of delusion, sakkaya ditti, so don't let it arise. Form and mind is like that. Understand? Deluded, do deluded thing. Understand? Got anger, evil root, say angry thing. Understand? So when I accept him for what he is, I'm at peace, isn't it? Then I have compassion, I have love. I don't have to react anymore. Correct? Then he is what he is. Understand? Then I don't get entangled. Understand? So, the next time you again encounter this, you have to use this right view and right understanding through mindfulness, see what happened. Second time, you have reflected, contemplated, and stabilized this understanding. For the second time, you realize, initially maybe like some of you say, you still get angry. Yesterday, Padma Surya. Then after that, he said, craving come already, cut. Stop, not cut. At least stop. Yeah, he realized this craving is negative, evil. Not supposed to get angry. Initially, you'll be like that. Then you reflect, contemplate again. Then the next time, no need to cut away. He is what he is. Understand? Then you can be at peace. Then you're very different, no? Then you just observe him, no? Then you radiate metta silently, you know. You don't go and tell him, may you be well and happy. You just radiate love and metta. I tell you, things will change. He will turn down. Understand? You need two hands to clap, no? Understand? If he get angry, you don't get angry. This one, got no condition to become more angry. If you go and reply and say negative thing, I tell you, you sure end up hospital. He will whack you. So, if you need to apologize, you apologize. Say very sorry if I caused you any misunderstanding. I never had that intention. So, forgive me if I caused you any misunderstanding or anything that is not proper or appropriate. If you say like that, then he will tone down. Understand? Then maybe he say, it's okay lah. Because last time I remember, got one time the car accident. Then he came down. He like want to come already. We got new car. That was many, many years ago. Then I came out of the car. I say very sorry. First thing I say very sorry. Actually, it's not my fault. His fault. Because he banged me, actually. So I say very sorry. Then, because I say very sorry, he looked at the car. Then I say, is your car okay? Actually, he looked. I think okay lah. You can go. So nothing happened. Even if it's damaged, so what? Need to claim insurance, claim insurance. Say, I'm sorry. But you don't worry. Whatever it is, there's an insurance. You can claim. Insurance pay, understand? Then he will tone down, understand? Then he will say, okay, give me your contact, and all those things. And then you resolve it. Then he say, you want to make report? Okay, you make report, I also make report. Otherwise, no need report, then we resolve. That is how you resolve things amicably. Don't have to react and get angry. But that training, trace the origination factor, exceed the time. Supposed to be 10:30. I finish off this one. Okay. Where was I? trace the origin like that. First time, like I say, like Pamasuri, like that, you react, then you realize through that awareness that this is evil root. It's wrong. We are not stable yet. Then after that, the next time, different already. You improve on it. Then you can really practice what you have understood. He is just the way he is. Form and mind, no reality. Understand not? So form and mind arguing with form and mind. Delusion is. So he is what he is. When you understand he is what he is, then you don't blame him. Understand? When you don't blame and don't react, you are at peace. Correct not? When you are at peace, this is peace through wisdom. Anger cannot arise. And then, the first category of practice under Dhammanupassana, he said, finally, he said, you will come to understand that in the future, this hindrance will not arise again. Understand? Means you will not have sensual desire and ill will, like and dislike. You will never have restlessness of mind. You will never have doubt. Understand? Because you have understood. Understand? And this is how you practice and train, understand? Not to go and suppress and do all these things without understanding, understand? The method techniques serve a purpose, understand? Decondition the heedless thinking and make you peaceful, understand? But it's not a fix, a permanent fix, because there is no wisdom there, understand? So you continue to do and do, and you say one day you will become enlightened. That one day, a lot of vipassana teacher tell you one. You do. You no. One day you will become enlightened. Are you going to wait for that day? Because if you are doing without understanding, when is that one day? It can be very, very long, no, that one day. That one day can be eternity. Understand? That's why samsara likes you. You keep on spinning.
in samsara for eternity. Okay, we stop. You're supposed to have meditation, I think. I think we can. Your meditation, you can shorten it a bit. Put here near. Oh, now you can have that.
Now I can walk there.
So, your meditation shortened, huh?